This is the Colorado Real Estate Experience Podcast. My name is Dick Girard and my co-host is Pat Draw. Today we are going to talk about some numbers. We're going to get into some numbers of the Colorado, the Denver metro area real estate market and talk about some numbers and what that means to you as a buyer or a seller. How's it going today, Pat?
Good. Yourself?
Good, good, good. So let's talk a little bit about the numbers and how they relate to last year's kind of some year-over-year numbers on listings and sales and just kind of talk through that a little bit.
Well, I mean, I think if we – I mean, so part of what you're saying and I think is what needs to be talked about is this, is that there's a – kind of a ripe opportunity right now that I don't think buyers have had for quite a while in the Denver market. And there's some reasons when we really analyze it and we will delve into it in our discussion, but I think there's some reasons why now is kind of the prime time for you to buy a house in the market because of some of the things that are happening now that didn't happen the last three or four buying seasons. And part of that is obviously we've got interest rates that have been kind of held down for a number of different factors, which we could go into at another date. But there's a number of different reasons playing into the fact that interest rates are lower right now, which is in turn creating lower payments on each of these houses. But at the same time, we're seeing more inventory compared to the past. And I think we're seeing a longer selling cycle. And so that means a number of different things. If you're looking to buy a house any point in time in the next, you know, 6 to 9 months here in the Denver metro area, I think that really opens up a pretty big opportunity for you to act sooner than later to take advantage of the fact that you might be able to buy a home sooner than somebody else might be able to.
Yeah, and it's amazing just looking at some of these charts, how consistent they are year over year, how you know, in January, December and January are kind of the low sales. And then you get to May, June, and then it kind of drops off a little bit in July. And then it goes back up in August on the sales. Those are really when the sales happen. So if you can get into the market a little ahead of that, you're going to be better off as a buyer.
So what you're saying is that not necessarily the prime buying season for individuals, but the prime buying season for the market in general is May, June, and August.
That's when the majority of the most sales happen. So
that's where most of the sales happen, but that means that's also, which I don't think a lot of people take into consideration, that's also where the most competition is.
Right.
Right? And I think one of the things we're seeing that unless somebody's really sitting there and analyzing the data, so what let's compare to last year, or actually the last two or three years, because what's happened is there was a strategy that was taking place by sellers because they were afraid of selling their house too fast and then not be able to buy another house. And so what was happening is technically people were putting their house on the market within 45 days of when they were ready to move, not months ahead of schedule like we're kind of seeing now. So when that selling cycle was, put your house in the market, you were almost guaranteed to go under contract within a few weekends, most people right away. And so there was a strategy that was in place where it was like, if we're going to be buyers in May, we're going to put our house in the market middle or end of April or whatever it might be, or June or August or however that works. So it was a different philosophy back then in the past couple of years than there is now, where because that selling cycle technically is a little longer, people technically could be putting their house on the market now through the end of March, if they're ready to go into that busy buying season themselves, which would be May, June, or even August, because they still have to allow for, maybe a 30-day marketing time, which is we're seeing in some cases.
Yeah. And if you break it down by price range too, if you look at like the 282 to 424 kind of price range, and that's a little bit under the average price range for the Denver metro area right now. And if you look at the amount of active listings in January of 2018, there was about 1,200 listings, 1,179 listings there. And if you look at the number that sold last year, there was actually a little more than that in that price range. So everything that was listed sold, right? And this year, in January of 2019, there was about the same amount sold as last year. But there was quite a bit more active listings. There was 1,900 active listings. So what is that? That tells us that there was more listings. So not all the listings sold in January of this year that sold where every listing sold last year at that time in that price range.
What does
that tell you?
Well, and that's why I was going to say is I think that if you look at like from a pure data standpoint, and then you go to look at a strategic standpoint, because those two come into play together. And the one thing that it really kind of comes to my mind is this, is that there's a cycle of people that kind of dealt with that. I don't want to call it a phenomena because it's our market and the way what we have to deal with. But I think that there was a cycle of people last year that went from renting to wanting to buy to saying, forget it. I can't get a house without overpaying or major amount of competition. So I'm going to be renting again. And so so there's some things that are, I don't want to call them the perfect storm, but there's just things that are happening over the next 120 days that I think really point, at least to me, from what I'm seeing with the data that we're looking at. And I know you can't see it on the podcast itself, but you can hear it. You can hear us talk about it. With the data that we're looking at, I think that this is pointing to us going, the next 60 days are crucial for somebody that wants to buy a house and actually can. And when I say actually can, I mean you're in that right point in time, and whether you're getting out of a lease or you're trying to sell your own home or whatever it might be, if you're potentially there and ready to buy a home, the next 60 days is going to be critical, because guess what you have? You've got a lot of the re-renters that happened last year, the people that re-up their lease or they're on their apartment or their home, and now they're going back into the buying cycle. Come end of April, May, when we see that busy push start going, the competition's going to be high again. Next 60 days, you don't have that, because if you look at the sales cycle going where it was and maybe it taking longer, I think there are people selling their homes now, or at least listing their homes now, that want to have it sold and closed by April. Well, that wouldn't have happened last year. Last year, those people weren't going on the market until April.
Right. Well, and it's amazing how the data is almost exactly the same number of houses sold last in January of 2018 that sold January of 2019. Almost the identical number of houses sold. But there was more houses listed. So that, in my mind, is a great opportunity for buyers, right? Because there's more houses available. Last year, every house sold, even more houses sold than were, you know, there was a couple hundred more houses sold than were listed. This year, there was 400 houses more that were listed than sold. So that really tells us that the buyers are in a better position this year than they were last year.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And that doesn't even take into consideration the interest rates.
That's right. It absolutely doesn't. And I think interest rates are probably about the same, but they went up so much in 2018 and then they dropped down. Right. So there definitely is an opportunity interest rate wise, but just inventory wise, there looks like there's going to be a little more inventory this year than there was last year. But that might not be the same when we get into the summer months, right?
Right. And that's the whole thing, is, you know, supply and demand. And, you know, if you're looking at the busy seasons, then that's exactly what's going to happen, is you're going to have more people coming in and buying. But, you know, one of the things that I hear, like, from our customer base, is I hear a lot of people that were reaching out in the fall that were going to buy, and maybe they decided to hold off for whatever reason. And now they're jumping back in because they understand really what's happening with the sales cycle extending out, interest rates being a little bit down, as well as the inventory being higher. So I think that they're looking at these three pieces of information or data and going, now is really the time. If I want to get in and get something, I'm going to be able to get a little fairer price because it's a buyer's market. I'm going to get a little better rate than what we are expected to have. Not that rates are as low as they've been. You know, we've had some really, really good rates for the last 5 years. But at the same time, they're a little lower right now than they were to end the year. And they're definitely lower now, almost a, what? I don't want to give a true number, but I mean, they're a significant amount lower than what they were expected to be. Right. And what they potentially could be at some point this year. So that's a big difference. So it's these things coming together along with the sales cycle extending, giving anybody who's willing to buy a house now the opportunity to go in and go, I can get a pretty good deal on a house. I can get a pretty good rate on a house. And I don't have to compete and lose every house that we fall in love with to somebody who's willing to overpay.
Right.
And we're seeing that with the offers that we're getting from our buyers. We're seeing them go in, make reasonable offers, get reasonable prices, and not have to compete against so many people right now. And I don't think that's going to last. A lot of people will argue and might say, oh, well, that's just the nature of the beast this year in the market. I don't think that's the case. I think it's the early adopters, which is what I'm talking about, these people now that are able to buy now, you know, and like I said, over this next 60, 75 days, I think these are the people that are just going to have that. I still expect, and tell me your thoughts on this, Dick, but I still expect that, you know, come middle of April, I still expect kind of the buying frenzy to happen because that's when all these people that re-upped their leases and stuff like that decided that bailed out of the process last year and didn't buy, they're going to be back in the market to buy, plus all the new people to buy.
Oh, absolutely. I think I know that a lot of my clients got frustrated, you know, and were not able to get the houses. So they went back in and rented, you know, and those people that didn't choose to buy last year are going to pay more, you know, this year than they did last year, for sure. Because the prices are still going up. But here's an interesting statistics for you too, is the for everything over 282. So this is the higher priced market also, you know, even the $1 million properties. The average days on market in January of last year was 16 days. And that actually went all the way down to 6 days in May and June. So things were only staying on the market for an average of 6 days on the market. That means most of the things were selling, a lot of things were selling in 1 and 2 days even. Where now, January of this year, the average days on market was 29 days. So that's a significant difference. So things are staying on the market longer. You have the time and things just aren't selling the same way as they were last year. Now, is this going to continue into the summer? Who knows? You know, we don't know that. But if the trend continues, there will be looks like there's a little more inventory out there than that you can look at before you buy. You don't have to make that decision immediately like you did last year.
Well, and that's why, I mean, yeah, that is a very precise point. And I think that is definitely something that is, if I'm a buyer right now, I'm really looking at it and going, oh, okay, now's the time to go. Because I'm also smart. And you know what, let's take the data out of it, take the analytics out of it, Dick, and here's the bottom line. This is still a very marketable metropolitan area to live in, and it's still affordable, even though people would argue with the home prices going up, it's still affordable compared to comparable markets. And if you start looking at, you know, what Colorado has to offer, and then you start comparing it to, you know, stuff on the East Coast or stuff on the West Coast, we're still very affordable in those terms. But at the same time, and here's one thing we haven't talked about that I know we talk about a lot, the ability to build wealth. What are you missing out on if you don't buy right now, whereas maybe you buy the same house, and maybe it's not a big deal to some people, but you know, $10,000 or $15,000 to me and my family is a big deal. So I would think if I'm paying $10,000 or $15,000 less for a house in, you know, call it March or even part of April, compared to what I might pay for it in June because the demand is up and the supply is still probably going to be the same, I would rather buy it now. And it's about the accumulation of wealth. And an extra $10,000 or $15,000 in equity the minute you buy your house, that feels pretty good.
Yep, absolutely. And there's no question. It's not just the wealth building is unbelievable. The numbers just don't lie. It is way better to buy versus rent. And we can do some statistics for you, and we can do all of that for you. The numbers just don't lie. I mean, it's hundreds of thousands of dollars over 9-10 years, you know, in this market. So that part of it is one thing, but also just the statistics on home buyers, they make more money than renters do. They are happier than renters are. They're more stable. So there's a lot of psychological things to owning a home too. You make roots. There's a lot of different studies out there about buying houses on how it enhances your life, not just including the wealth building stuff. So there's a lot of reasons to buy a house and versus not buying a house. And if you're in the position to do that, now is the time. It's going to be more expensive. It's going to cost you more interest rate wise in the future than it is buying now.
Well, and I think that's those are very good points that I don't know that anybody takes into consideration. And I think that's something that people need to think about. And again, we're not saying that you need to run out there and buy a house today just because you're going to start making more money and all the other stuff, but it's something about the overall picture, I think, that makes a lot of sense when you look at, you know, should I buy a house or should I rent? I mean, there is a something to be said about feeling more stable, right? Living in your house, even if you choose to live in a house and buy and sell one every 2 or 3 years, because that's what you do, you still have that opportunity where, you know, as well as I do, when you rent, you're either at the mercy of the landlord, be it an apartment or be it another homeowner. You know, are they going to up the rent on you? Can you just stay there? You know, if you've rented before, you know this, you start thinking about it 3 or 4 months before your lease is up, which means you're only takes you, what, 2 or 3 months to settle in once you move in. So what do you have? 4 months, 3 months of kind of a piece until you got to start thinking about it again. Oh, what are we going to do? We're going to lease. We're going to buy. We're going to move somewhere else, stay in this apartment, find another house, wait for the landlord to bump the rent. You know, there's all these things that go into that. That makes good sense because that creates this instability in terms of not knowing what you're going to do next. And let's face it, I can tell you this, moving stinks. I hate moving.
Yep.
I mean, the physical act of moving your house or your apartment or your townhome or your condo, I don't care if you live out of the back of a van. Moving your stuff, it still stinks because you got to just reorganize, unorganize, pack, unpack, repack, get settled. It's the whole act of it's tough.
Yeah, I've always thought that would be a good thing for the prisoners to have them move people. But then you get the – because it's a terrible thing, you know, and that would – I think that would rehabilitate some people. Now, you do have the issue of having convicts around your stuff, which isn't a good thing, but
exactly.
But yeah. I haven't figured that whole thing out yet. But
it is in your plan.
It's not a right there. That's why I haven't implemented it yet. But but it's a terrible thing, just like you said. I've always thought that this is not a fun thing to do. So, but going back to the other thing that you were talking about is, you're letting somebody else control your life. They get to tell you how much you're going to pay. They get to tell you if you can have pets, if you can't, you know, can you paint the walls the color that you want? You're letting somebody else dictate what you're doing. And I think that when you buy that house, you can lock in your payment pretty much, you know, for the next, you know, 30 years. So there's a lot of things, and we can definitely, if you would like to get a rent versus own analysis, you know, we would be happy to send that to you. If you want to text the word rent to 720-650-6440, we will send you a rent to own analysis.
What's the number again, Dick? I didn't catch it.
It's 720-650-6440.
Just text the word rent.
Text the word rent to that.
What should they expect to get in return?
Like, you're going
to
get a rent to own analysis, and we'll just do a generic one for you. And if you want a specific, you know, to give us exactly what you rent, you know, what your rent is or how much you want to pay for it for a new house, you can text that to us also. But we'll give you a generic, you know, kind of an average price range and just let you see the numbers of if you rent versus own in the Denver metro area. And if you'd like to find out what you qualify for, you know, we can give you those numbers too. And if you want to just text apply to that same number, 720-650-6440, we'll send you a link to a loan application where you can get exactly what you, no obligation, it's all free, so it doesn't cost you anything, but we will tell you what you can qualify for as far as buying a home. So
awesome. That's good.
Those are offers that we can give to you right away. And if you want those, just text those things to that number, and we'd be happy to help you out any way we can. And you know, if you have any other questions, feel free to call us or text us at that number too, and we can definitely answer any questions that you have.
Very good. Awesome stuff. So bottom line is what? Buy a house sooner than later. Great opportunities for us as potential homeowners and new buyers, and go from there.
Yep. And you can always find us at ColoradoRealEstateExperience.com, and that will bring you to our website, and you can find out a lot of stuff, other information, other past shows and things like that from us.
Very good. Good. Well, that was a good talk today, Dick. I think that there's a lot of good information, and hopefully people that might be sitting on the fence or have thinking about doing it this year, maybe looking at doing it sooner, take advantage of the fact that we have a kind of a rare buyer's market for a short period of time, combined with, you know, solid interest rates, and put people in a much better position when they buy their house now.
Absolutely. All right. Have a great day, Pat.
You too, Dick. Take care. Good chat.